Part 6. Aftermath. I am for the death penalty. Anyone who commits terrible acts must get a fitting punishment. That way, he learns the lesson for the next time. Britney Spears. Chapter 1. He was trying to write a song in his head, one he'd been working on for months. He had an opening line. I know you won't be coming back again. Sketch a smiling face in the misted window pane. And he could hear how he wanted the first part of the chord sequence to go. A major to C sharp minor to F sharp major, kind of like Wire's Outdoor Minor. But he couldn't quite hear where it should go after that. Up a step to B and start again, or resolve to E for kind of a chorus. Difficult without a guitar in your hands, but he'd heard of songwriters who wrote whole things in their heads and then got them down when they next picked up an instrument. He sat up in his bunk and looked out through the tiny, barred window. Spring was officially upon the land, but still the battleship skies, gray upon gray, even the clouds gray, the sun invisible, a sharp wind keening across Polk County, keening through the razor wire fence in the distance, slapping at the sentries in the tower, rattling against the big metal sign over the entrance gate, a sign that J.C. could only see the back of, but he knew the front read, Allen B. Polunsky Unit, operated by the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. This was the penultimate stop in the system. A couple of dozen dirty gray buildings set in 470 fenced, heavily guarded acres. He yawned and dropped down off the top bunk onto the cement floor. He had the cell to himself. They all did on this block. Pity. He'd been looking forward to a little company, but apparently one of the guards had told him with a savage grin, a lot of guys lose it on this wing. J.C. would hear them at nights, crying or talking to themselves, most of them talking to God or their mothers. With a bare toe, they only gave you plastic slippers in here, and he hated the way they felt against his skin, he moved some of the newspapers around, drifts of them covering the floor of the cell. Man, the newspaper coverage the past few months, he couldn't believe it, especially the first few weeks. Cop killer, cult leader in shootout, 14 dead in cult siege, messiah or murderer, American pop star finalist in massacre, alleged child abuse, gun runner, drug dealer, and so on. He'd rarely read past the first paragraph of any of these articles. They all said pretty much the same thing. The musician and self-proclaimed son of God, 32, shot to fame last year on the ABN talent show American Pop Star. He went on to open a so-called utopian commune in central Texas with his earnings from the show, estimated to be in excess of $2 million. Officers from a combined BATF, FBI, and DEA task force raided the compound near Brunsfield, Texas, on December 8th, following increasing concerns about drug production, a cache of automatic weapons, and more recently, fears that child abuse was taking place within its walls. They were met with deadly force, and the ensuing shootout claimed the lives of 6 officers and 8 cult members, while 18 others, including several children, were left wounded. Then, there was the photo, the same one used again and again, a blurry, pixelated shot of Jesus holding up the rifle he'd just taken off Deke Rennett, caught for a split second on a camera mounted on that helicopter, caught hefting it up to throw it away. Not that anyone at the trial believed that, of course. The ballistics expert the prosecution brought in had tied the bullets taken from 2 dead troopers to that rifle, and had expertly argued that the shots had come from exactly where J.C. was standing. Literally a smoking gun, the prosecutor had said. Oh, man, Jesus had said. Regardless of the fact that not one child who came out of the estate confirmed the abuse allegations, the damage was done. Child abuse, drug dealing. J.C. had freely admitted they'd grown marijuana, but argued that it was solely for personal use. The judge had refused to believe such quantities could possibly be just for personal consumption and had let the dealing charge stand. And the murder of 6 federal officers. It had taken the Texan jury just 4 hours to convict him on the drugs and murder charges. Capital murder, too. The murder of a public servant in the line of duty. The reason J.C. kept all these newspapers in his cell wasn't so he could go over all the details of the trial in the hope of mounting an appeal or something, even though many of the quality papers, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the Guardian and the Independent over in England, had started running stories questioning the motives and strategy of the government agencies, with some writers beginning to allege that they alone were responsible for the tragic events of December 8th. No, it was because of all the photos of his friends that were in there. Becky being led handcuffed from the estate, a good shot of Morgan on stage a few years back, grinning as he smashes a cymbal. Where was that goddamn gig? J.C. wonders. A photo of Chris talking to Jesus by the pool in L.A., one of Bob as a young man in full combat rig, standing with arms folded in front of a helicopter somewhere. Even a photo of old Gus and Dottie, who died in their sleep in their bed, the smoke pouring in under their door, failing to wake them before it dragged them under. A photo of Stephen Stelfox accompanied a couple of the articles, interviews Stelfox had given where he denounced Jesus as a deluded, warped individual, and promised the public that, out of respect for those who died, the music J.C. and the guys had recorded would never see the light of day. One good thing. Over the course of the trial, he'd managed to convince everyone that he alone was responsible for the events, that Becky, Chris, and Morgan had been under his considerable personal magnetism, as their lawyers put it, and consequently not responsible for their actions. Of course, it had taken some effort and a lot of back-channel dealing through the lawyers to get Becky, Chris, and Morgan to go along with this. Chris had still ended up getting sentenced to 6 months for contempt of court after he called the judge a fucking right-wing Nazi asshole scumbag. He was doing his time at another jail somewhere north of here. Jesus hoped he was well and had healed up okay. That bullet in his shoulder. Hoped he could play again. More oddly, Morgan had sold his story about his time in the cult to a supermarket tabloid, making out that he'd been inducted, brainwashed, and all this stuff. Man, that was funny. Jesus hoped old Morgs had got a load of money and that wherever he was happy too. Maybe going to the B would be better than dropping it down to E. Hey there! Jesus looked up from the newsprint. It was Tommy, the guard who'd been mean to him when he got here, who'd told him about guys losing it with a wicked grin, like all the guards had, believing all the stuff they'd read in the papers. Tommy was real nice to J.C. now. Most of them were. You're around the guy long enough. How are you doing?
Good, Tommy. What's up, man? Did your little girl get over that chicken pox?
I believe she's on the mend now, yeah.
You got a visitor.
Visitor? I wasn't down for any, was I?
Nope. Bit last minute. A regular and all, but the governor decided to let it go, seeing as, you know.
Wow. Who is it? Nah, don't tell me. I could use a surprise.
Manacled and down the antiseptic hallway to the visiting room. The door opening and Jesus grinning instantly as she runs up to him, arms flung wide.
Becky, he says.